All right, let me say right up front that I'm going to make some comments this morning, and all the teens that are in that one row, I'm not intending to offend you in any way. But I was a youth pastor for 8 years, and even in Deckerville, about the last, what, Christy, 6 years probably while we were there, we were the main youth leaders, and so we've worked with teens for a long time. And we've noticed some things with teenagers, and now as a senior pastor, I noticed that in everybody that sits in a pew, that there are problems from time to time. And we think, sometimes as parents, as grandparents, as youth pastors, as pastors, that people have sort of a nonstick coating for their minds. You know, it seems like it goes in one ear and it doesn't touch anything and goes out and doesn't stick and doesn't stay. And you wonder, what's going on, and what can happen, what can I do? I read some statistics probably about 2 months ago, and I went to look them up again, and I couldn't find them, so it's one of two figures, so I don't know which it is, so I apologize for that, but it's either 65% or 85%. I don't remember which exactly number it is, but either way is extremely high of those who grow up in the church and go through youth group and Sunday school, and when they graduate from high school, they leave the church. If it's the low end, it's 65%. Think about that. Or the high end, 85%. You know, it's happening at an alarming rate. In fact, if you were you do the Daily Bread yesterday, said a man named Refuge Robin. I hate names. Rabindranath, he's been a youth worker in Sri Lanka for more than 10 years, and he often interacts with the youth late into the night, playing with them, listening to them, counseling and teaching them. He enjoys working with the young people, but it can be disheartening when promising students sometimes walk away from the faith. Some days he feels a bit like Simon Peter in Luke 5. You know, that is a danger, and if you've worked with teenagers at all, and teenagers, again, I'm not meaning to offend you, but you're going to understand some of these things are true about you. And they're true about you as adults as well. You know, typical, a teacher gets up and says, all right, on Friday, we're going to have a test on the presidents of the United States. And then that teacher starts to go on and teach the lesson and do whatever the lesson plans calls for the day. Inevitably, 5 minutes later, somebody's going to raise a hand and say, does that mean we have to know the presidents of the United States? You know, that's going to happen. And that does happen. It happens I don't care where you're at, I don't care what level you're at, it happens. And so that is why we worry so much about, will those spiritual truths that we're trying to put into hearts, that we're trying to put into minds, when they need it most, are the truths going to be there? How can we make the truth stick? And this morning we're going to use Ezra as our model and look at some ways that, I don't care what age we are, we can make the truth stick in our minds and in our lives. First thing, number one, let's think about some background information. Some background information. In many ways, Ezra's situation is a lot like that of not just teenagers today, but all of us. We are often in a time of transition. We're moving from one thing to another, and often rather quickly. Ezra had grown up in Babylon. He's just moved with his nation to study and work in Jerusalem. And in Ezra chapter 7, look at verses 6 through 8. It says, this Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. And the king granted him all he requested, because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Some of the sons of Israel and some of the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the temple servants went up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. He came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was in the seventh year of the king. So he's in a time of transition. Often we are in times of transition in our lives. As teens, you advance through school, you advance through different things, you graduate, you move on to a vocation or college or military. As adults, we're in times of transition, and transition is always a little bit scary. It takes us back a little bit. Christy and I had no idea, none whatsoever, of the impact of this transition to Three Rivers that it was going to have on our six-year-old. Elle has been, it's been traumatic for her in a lot of respects. Everything, absolutely everything is new. You know, and so new home, new bedroom, now sleeping on the same level as mom and dad, and, you know, new neighborhood, new community, new church, new Sunday school class, all new people, new school, absolutely everything is new. Instantly, everything is new. And it's been a really tough adjustment. And as we go through transitions in life, it's not always easy. Here, Ezra's going through a transition in his life just as often we do. Another similarity is we see Ezra was well acquainted with God's truth. It says he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses. From childhood, he had studied the scriptures, and as a scribe, he knew them better than anyone. Now, we have a lot of people today in our churches. We have a lot of young people that from a young age, they're taught the scriptures. They grow up in a Christian home, and they're absorbed with God's truth in one way or another, and they can tell the Bible stories. They can relay those things that they've heard ever since they can remember. So it's a lot like Ezra. Another thing they compare with Ezra is it says, Ezra walked with the Lord. Three times, I think it's interesting in this passage, and we saw it in verse 6, at the end of the verse, because the hand of the Lord his God was upon him. Verse 9, because the good hand, at the end of the verse, because the good hand of his God was upon him. Verse 28, the middle of the verse, thus I was strengthened according to the hand of the Lord my God upon me. We can all see in our lives, I don't care what age we are, that if you've been saved for any period of time, you can see God's hand upon you. You can see God directing and God providing and God leading and God, from the moment of salvation, we can see how God directs our paths and moves us in different ways, whether it's a very real situation where you realize you just missed. God spared you from that car accident by just seconds. Or God did this, or God moved you here, or God provided here, or God gave you clarity here. And God, we can see God's hand upon us. And Ezra saw God's hand working in his life. And he was taking that truth, and he was using that truth. And that's what we want for all of us, is to take that truth and to help it stick in our lives so that it deepens and it grows and it develops and we become more mature and it produces fruit in our lives. As Ezra held tightly to that knowledge, he did so by developing four character traits. And we're going to look at those this morning. So number two, if you're taking notes in your outline, secrets of making the truth stick. Secrets of making the truth stick. There's one verse in chapter 7, verse 10, that we're going to look at this morning and just lightly touch on the truth that's there. But Ezra 7, verse 10, for Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. For Ezra had set his heart to study the law of the Lord and to practice it and to teach his statutes and ordinances in Israel. So first thing we see, letter A, is he made a personal commitment. He made a personal commitment. It says he set his heart. Now, a little bit later in the Old Testament, give me just a second to get there. One book too short. In Daniel chapter 1, we see something similar to Daniel. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself. Daniel made up his mind as a teenager. Ezra set his heart. All right, listen to me this morning. Listen very closely to me this morning. The Christian that God uses in powerful ways, they always begin their journey by choosing to follow Christ. You have to choose to follow Christ. It says Ezra set his heart. Daniel made up his mind. That means I have to determine in my heart that I'm going to serve God even if nobody else does. Now, it's easier when you're sitting in a church and you're in a Sunday school class, you're in a sanctuary, you're surrounded by Christian people to say, I'm going to stand up for Christ. But in reality, if you look around, you're going to have to stand sometimes when people sitting beside you are not going to stand. You're going to have to stand when you stand on your own, and you're going to stand for God's truth, even if nobody else is going to stand with you. You're going to have to go against the flow. You're going to have to go against the popular culture and the changing shifts in society and in our way of thinking. We have to determine, I am going to stand for Christ. It says he set his heart. He was determined, no matter what, I am going to choose to follow Christ. And if we don't make that decision, the truth is not going to stick. If we don't choose, I'm going to stand up for Christ, I'm going to live for Christ, I'm going to be a man or woman for Christ, the truth isn't going to stick. He made a personal commitment. Second thing we see, letter B, is he became a loyal student of Scripture. He became a loyal student of Scripture. It says he set his heart to study the law of the Lord. One of the quickest ways to take the fun out of Christianity is to stop studying the Word of God and rely completely on someone else's prepared spiritual meals. You know, I have been here just about 4 months, and you have heard me say more than once, and I'll continue to say it. We must be in the Word of God every single day. We have to devour the Word of God. If all I have is when I'm in a Sunday school class or in a church service, and that's all the Word of God I'm getting, then the truth isn't going to stick. It's not going to land. It's not going to stay. And I'm not going to have that foundation that I need as the going gets tough and things happen around me. You know, when we study the Word of God, God does some amazing things in our lives. It's sort of like when this doesn't apply to me because I understood what I had as a teenager. I lived in a home with a godly mother who could cook like no other. My mom was a fantastic cook, and until the day she died, I loved going to mom's house for her meals. I mean, she did fantastic. Now, obviously, if you look at me, you know my wife does pretty well, too. But I had some friends who I grew up with who didn't have it as good as I did. In fact, they're the ones that always asked to come over to my house, because they wanted some of my mom's cooking. I had one friend in particular, and I remember he complained incessantly about his mom's cooking. Finally, one day she said, I'm done. I've had enough. If you want food, you make it. You want to eat, you make it. We'll buy it, you make it. All right, and then he started to do that. First, it started out as peanut butter and jelly. Then he graduated to macaroni and cheese and other things, but eventually, over a period of time, he became a pretty good cook, and he did things, and one thing I noticed about him, and it struck me years later, is he gained a new appreciation for his mom's cooking, for one thing, but he said, when I take the time to put all the effort into it and the energy into it, and I do it, he says, even if it's bad, it tastes good to me. You know, when you're doing it all yourself, and it's the same thing when I'm studying the Word of God. As I'm studying God's truth and I'm putting in the time and I'm putting in the effort and I'm devouring God's truth, when he reveals that truth to me, it's so sweet. Now, it's great when I hear some other speaker and there's a truth that just grabs me and it encourages me and I write down those things. But when it's my time alone with God and I'm reading a passage I've read 100 times and all of a sudden God shows me something I haven't noticed before. Man, that's exciting. Krista could tell you, there's times where I can't wait to get home from the office and say, hey, look at what this passage says. And I want to share this. And I want to, it's just when we're studying the Word of God together and we're devouring God's truth and the Holy Spirit is leading us into truth, then we're growing and we're deepening our faith and we're being where we need to be. It says he set his heart to study the law of the Lord. Now, studying takes discipline. Studying takes time, it takes energy and effort, but discovering God's truths when it's just me and God and the Bible is so rewarding and so valuable. That's how Ezra lived his life. Chuck Swindoll wrote this. He said, help your teens read God's Word regularly and give them a Bible they can understand and carry with them wherever they go. It's the most important gift you could ever buy. Now he became a loyal student of Scripture. Third letter C, we see he put the truth into action. He put the truth into action. Ezra not only studied the Scripture, but it says he set his heart to practice it. To practice it. You know, to put that truth into action. The truth is going to stick when we put it into action. Keep your fingers here in Ezra and turn to the book of James. Right after the book of Hebrews. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Now, the truth is going to stick when we pay attention to what James says about becoming doers of the word. In verse 22 of James chapter 1, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. He said, prove yourselves to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. As we put God's word into practice, it's going to stick in our lives. Now, he illustrates this point in the next few verses. Look at verses 23 through 25. It says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now imagine you get up in the morning. This usually, because we've moved closer to Dad and I can get my hair cut every 2 weeks, now it's not an issue. You know, it's short enough. But let's say your hair is not as short as mine. And you wake up in the morning and you scratch a little bit. You make your way to the bathroom and you look in the mirror and this side of your hair is fine and this side is 3 feet up in the air. And you have breath that would knock your dog over. And you just sort of are like this in the morning and you turn off the light and you go back to your room and you get dressed and you inflict yourself upon the world. Without making any changes. Now, not one of us would ever do that. I don't care what age, you wouldn't do that. But James says that's exactly what we do when we sit down and we open the Word of God and he reveals to us what we need to change, what needs to be redirected, and we know the truths of God's Word, that certain things we ought to be doing. Certain things that ought to be a part of our lives, and we look at that truth and we close the book and we walk out and inflict ourselves on the world without making any changes. If we're not putting God's word into practice, the truth isn't going to stick. And so James studied the Scriptures and he put that truth into practice in how he lived his life and what he did day in and day out. So he made a personal commitment. He set his heart. He became a loyal student of Scripture. He set his heart to study the law of the Lord. He put the truth into practice. He said to study the law of the Lord, to practice it. And letter D, he shared what he learned with others. He shared what he learned with others. That's that fourth secret for making the truth stick. The end of the verse, to teach his God's statutes and ordinances in Israel. He shared what he learned. He shared that truth. One of the best ways to learn a subject is to teach it. Because you are forced to study it. You're forced to think about, all right, is what's coming out of my mouth really what's in my heart and what's in my mind? Or am I just saying some words? You know, I don't care. I challenge you. Grow in your faith and get to the point where you're ready to say, I want to teach a Sunday school class. And I don't care what age Sunday school class you teach, you are going to learn and you're going to grow. Whether you're teaching preschoolers or you're teaching adults, you are going to grow. You know, it's going to challenge you because as you put your faith into practice and then you take that and you begin to teach God's truth to other people, what you really believe becomes a reality. It sticks in your life. And it deepens our walk with Christ. It deepens our knowledge of God. And it causes us to grow. You know, we may think we know what Christianity is all about. But if called upon to teach, we can't really share something. Then that means I got to go back to the basics. I got to go back to setting my heart on God. I got to go back to studying the Scriptures. And then I got to go back to putting it into practice so that I am ready to take that next step and to share it with those who are around me. Because not until I share that knowledge does it anchor itself in my life. Does it take root? Is it grounded and solid and firm? You know, the Word of God tells us that we are to be ready to make a defense for anyone who asks us for the hope, the reason of the hope that's in us. And the reason of the hope is Jesus Christ. The reason of hope is the Word of God. And how do I make a defense? By knowing Scripture. Not by sharing my opinion, not by sharing my thoughts, but the hope that's in me is because of Jesus Christ and God's Word. And so I have to be in God's Word in order to share that truth and to relay that to those around me. I was thinking about number three, a final thought. Trying to get anyone to absorb God's truth can be frustrating. Whether you're teaching teenagers or whether you're standing in front of adults every Sunday. Because every time I stand up to teach, I don't care what level it's at, there are going to be those in that sanctuary, in that Sunday school room, in the chapel or wherever it is, who are disinterested, who are doing anything but paying attention. You know, some of you know who you are, by the way. And, you know, you can tell their minds are, you know, they're, you know, and it's, and there are those who just, it's just, all right, God, you know the time I put in this week. Please strangle that person so they pay attention. Do something, you know, just, that's where you feel like something. And you just, but I can tell you this has happened on more than one occasion where years down the road, I remember when I was a youth pastor here, I had different ones contact me a couple of years later and say, Pastor Jeff, when you thought I wasn't interested, I was. When you thought I wasn't paying attention, I was. And I've gone through some tough times in my life, and I want you to know, I want to thank you for the truth that you put into my heart and that God developed and grew and has brought me to where I am today. You know, those kind of things keep you going. Because when it seems like you walk out and you want to bang your head on the door, did that make any difference? And somebody comes up to you and says, it made a difference. You know, it made a difference in my life. When you didn't think when you thought I didn't care, I did. A number of years ago, I received a phone call out of the blue. When I was in high school, I did my best. I went to a public high school, Mendon High School. I did my best to live out a Christian testimony while I was there. And I will readily admit to my shame, I was not near the vocal witness I could have been or should have been. My brother put me to shame. He was a dynamic witness for Jesus Christ. But I tried my best to live out my faith. When God gave me opportunities, I shared truth. And there was one classmate, one man who was a young man who was in my class, who made it his life's ambition to mock everything I stood for. To ridicule everything I did or didn't do. You know, because of my relationship with Christ, I didn't go to the parties. I didn't sleep around. I didn't do the drug scene. I didn't do any of those things. And he did all those things to the extreme. And he would tell crude jokes or mock something right in front of me just to get a reaction, and I'd usually just walk away. And out of the blue, I hadn't seen him in probably 12 years, I got a call from him. He said, Jeff, I just wanted to give you a call. He said, I know that you're very aware of what I purposefully did when you were in high school. What I did to mock you and to shame you and embarrass you. He said, I just want to thank you for how you responded to me and for living out your faith before me. He said, you're the first person I wanted to call and let you know that last week I accepted Christ. And he said, what you did and how you talked to me made a difference. You know, that's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you opening the Word of God. That's what keeps you prepared to do what Ezra did. But we're not going to do what Ezra did if we don't let the Word of God into our hearts and our minds and put God's Word into our hearts and minds, put it into practice, obey it, and share it. That's how we make the truth stick. And then when you get that phone call or you get that note, even today when you get a note in the box, and a lot of times it's anonymous and just, all right, God, thank you. Now I'm ready to go another day. God's going to bless His Word if we're faithful to it. He's promised that. We have to be in the Word of God. Father, thank you. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the example that we have in Ezra of a man who took your truth and he set his heart that he was going to live for you. And he set his heart that he was going to study your Word. And he set his heart that he was going to put that into practice and then share it with others. What an example for us to follow. So Lord, help us to do that. To be like an Ezra. To stand up when it's not easy to stand up. To take that truth and let it take hold in our lives, in our minds. And to put that truth into practice and to share it with others. God, thank you for the gift of your Word that you've given to us. Use those different individuals and those different events to encourage us to keep going. And Lord, help us to be faithful to be used by you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.